In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Oh, yes, the Word of God is like a two-edged sword that cuts. Lord, we ask for the anointing today. We ask for the Holy Spirit today, that you would touch the hearts of people who listen, that those who are worrying, that you would take away their worry and let them have trust instead, trust in you. So today, we need the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. How we need the Holy Spirit. We cannot minister without the presence of the Holy Spirit, without the presence of the anointing, that great anointing that comes from the Holy Spirit. And you know what? That doesn't mean you've got to feel it. It means you've got to step out in faith. If I just waited for to feel things, I wouldn't do it. I need to do it in faith, that the anointing is on me by the grace of the living God, not because it's me, but because I asked you, Lord, for that anointing, that I would be able to proclaim the Word of God under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come, and from your celestial home, shed a ray of light divine. Come, Father of the poor, come, source of all our store. Come, within these bosoms shine. Thou of comfort is the best. Thou the soul's most welcome guest, sweet refreshment here below. In our labor rest most sweet, grateful in the cool of heat, solace in the midst of woe. O most blessed love divine, shine within these hearts of thine, and our innermost being fill. Where thou art not, we have not, nothing free from taint or thought. Nothing free from taint or ill. I tell you that the Holy Spirit is so necessary in our ministering to the people. That's why Jesus said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And we're going to look at that right now. And he said to them, chapter 11, 5, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. The rule of hospitality. He needed to have something to set before the friend that comes at midnight. Oh, yes, we know that in the 23rd Psalm, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Hospitality. I could even go to my enemies in the evening. They'd have to be hospitable to me. This is God. We're not accustomed to the Middle Eastern experiences. Like, what about marriage in the Middle East? In the West, where we live, it's here comes the bride. In the East, it's here comes the groom. It's all about the groom, prepared to meet his bride. He is upstairs, and he is being washed and perfumed, and he's ready to meet his bride. And you know what sounds like the gospel? The groom is coming. The groom is coming. And he goes to meet his bride. I tell you, it is not the bride that the Middle Eastern people celebrate. It is the groom. And you know what? We have a groom. His name is Jesus. And he is getting prepared to meet his bride, those who love him, those who have surrendered their lives to him. He is ready to meet us and greet us. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. I'll continue. I have nothing to set before him. And he answered from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give anything, even though he will not go up and give anything, he, because he is a friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs, his persistence. I tell you, we need to be persistent in prayer. If one person said to you, know, after you ask the Lord something, you don't need to ask him again. I tell you, you keep on knocking. You keep on seeking. You keep on looking. God says you keep on asking, looking, seeking, and knock on the door. Keep on knocking even until your knuckles become bloody. Yes, what you need is what God will give you, and we need to be persistent. If the old friend isn't touched by hospitality, he's touched by persistence. And I tell you, we need to be persistent. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who searches finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Oh, yes. We forget that. So, well, I've been praying all these years and nothing has happened. I tell you, if you've been praying all these years, something has happened. God has done something for you. But it's not what I wanted. It's what he wanted. Oh, yes. There is no need to be worried today. There is no need to be fearful today. We have a God who said, "I will be with you always, even until the end of time." We have a God who loves us even until the end, who loves us, who loves us, who loves us. Not only does he love us, but he is in love with us. That's what Jesus tells us. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." Oh my. As the Father has loved Jesus, so Jesus has loved you. This is real. This is real. "Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if your child asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil," because we're sinners, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Many years ago, I was leading a Life in the Spirit seminar, and Professor Peter Kreft was there, and he, on the fourth night, said, "Next week we're going to be prayed with for the Holy Spirit." He said, "What are the odds that I'm going to get it?" And I'm thinking, I'm not a bookie. I said, "Well, let me ask the Lord." So I put my head down, and I said, 100%. He said, "What gives you the right to say 100%? If your children ask for you a fish, would you give them a stone? If they ask for a loaf of bread, would you give them a scorpion? How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" And you know what? The Holy Spirit came to Peter that night. He did not need to wait till the next week to be prayed with, though he was. God did something wonderful with the Word of God. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So, Heavenly Father, today we ask for the Holy Spirit. We ask for the wonderful Holy Spirit to be in our lives, to really saturate our hearts, saturate our lives. Saturate us in the name of Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, how much we need you. We have no idea to the degree of our need. And you come when we ask for you. You come when we ask for you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, wonderful God. Come, fill me with the joy of the Lord. Fill me with the life of Christ. Amen. Verse 14, now he was casting out a demon that was mute. And when the demon had gone out, the one who had been mute spoke, and the crowds were amazed. Imagine. Well, we had a little boy once, and he never walked. I don't remember how old he was, but he was much older than a year. And we prayed with him that he would walk. And you know what? The next day he started walking. This is real. This is what the Holy Spirit does. This is what Jesus knows how to do. This is real. It's not a fable. This is real. But some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons. Oh, dear Lord, they're so blind. Others to test him kept demanding from him a sign from heaven. But he knew that they were what they were thinking and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself becomes a desert, and the house falls on the house. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. How now, if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your exorcists cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Oh, yes. It is by the finger of God that Jesus casts out demons. It is by the finger of God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need for heaven to seep into our churches and into our lives. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, yes. When a strong man fully armed guards his castle, his property is safe. But when one stranger, then he attacks him and overpowers him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted, and divides his plunder. Whoever is not with me is against me. Are you with Jesus today? If you're not with him, you're against him. Are you with Jesus today? And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Are you scattering today? Or are you with Jesus? When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it wanders through waterless regions looking for a resting place, but not finding any, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. When it comes, it finds it swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits, more evil than itself, and they enter and live there. And the last state of the person is worse than the first. Let me tell you this, my friends. The demonic is real. It is real. It is real. You know, we listen to the television and hate streams toward the president. That's demonic. Everyone hates him. We are not called to hate the president. We are called to pray for the president. And it's all about hate. They hate him. They hated him the day he was sworn in. We don't want to hate. We want to love. We want to love. We want to care. We want to have people anointed with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 11, verse 27. While he was saying this, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Was Mary blessed? I've gone through this many times, but maybe you never heard it. In Galilee, she heard, in Nazareth, she heard that she would become the mother of the Messiah. And she said, "Let it be done unto me according to your word." In Bethlehem, she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger. In Cana, she said to Jesus and to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And you know what? I think that Mary had seen other things in Nazareth that Jesus did. Do whatever he tells you. That's what Mary does. She teaches us that. Do whatever my son tells you. And then at the cross, neath the cross of Jesus, stood his mother. Oh, she heard the word of God, and she obeyed it. Chapter 11, verse 29. When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah." Now, he's not going to say Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days. This is not the sign for Luke. "For just as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh," people that weren't Jewish, "the queen of the south will rise in judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them because she came from the ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon." And see, something greater than Solomon is here. That's Jesus. "The people of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the proclamation of Jonah." And see, something greater than Jonah is here. So what is Jesus saying? That Jonah went to the Gentiles and they were repented. And that's what's going to happen in the days to come. My word is going to be spoken to the Gentiles and they're going to repent. "Even though I came unto my own and my own received me not. But as many who did receive me, he gave the power to become children of God." Verse 33, "No one after lighting a lamp puts it under the bed, but on a lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body." What are you looking at? What are you looking at? Are you looking at your computer that you shouldn't be looking at things? Your eye is the light of your body. Yes. And if your eye is filled with light, then your whole body is filled with light. And if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if it is not healthy, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, consider whether the light in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in darkness, it will be full of light, as when a lamp gives you light with its rays. Your eye, very important. Your eye, my eyes are very important. Even on television, when something is happening in a commercial, I just close my eyes. I don't want to see these things. These things are not something for me to see. Oh, yes, that's just the way it is. While he was speaking, a Pharisee invited him to dine with him. So he went in and took his place at the table. The Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not first wash before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? So give for alms those things that are within, and see everything will be clean for you. Give alms. I tell you, the Bible speaks more about money than it does about heaven. That's real. Are you giving alms out? That's after you've tithed. Tithing is 10%. Alms are what you give after the 10%. You see, how can that be? I can't make ends meet. You watch and see what God can do. As I often said, I cannot afford not to tithe my money. Not. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and her herbs of all kinds, and neglect justice and the love of God. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. Woe to you Pharisees, for you love to have the seat of honor in the synagogues and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without realizing it. One of the lawyers answered Jesus, Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us too. And he said, Woe to you lawyers. Woe to you lawyers. You load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourself do not lift a finger to ease them. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your ancestors killed. So you are witnesses and approve of the deeds of the ancestors, for they kill them and build their tombs. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that this generation may be charged with the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be charged against this generation. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering. When he had said this outside, the scribes and Pharisees began to examine him about many things, lying in wait of him to catch him in something that he might say. You see, Jesus looks at the heart. He does not judge from the outside. He judges what's inside. O God, you who love Israel, give us a pure heart in Jesus' name. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Are you with Jesus today, or are you against him? Say, I am with him. I am with you, Jesus, because I need you. I need you. I need you. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.